I'll start.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is Gina Cressy. It's August 26, 1996. I'm at 40 Cross Street in Belfast. I'm at 40 Northport Avenue, okay, thank you, in Belfast. And I'm going to be talking to Stella Dykstra, who many people have recommended that I speak to, including my next-door neighbor, Nancy Freeman, who's going to be transcribing this tape for us. So if you would just start by telling me what you were mentioning before about when your family first came to Bayside and how it came to pass.
We first came to Bayside when I was 16, and my family were coming for vacation from the Canal Zone, Panama Canal Zone. We met folks there that had summer cottages here, and we thought it would be a pleasant place for us to stay because we were used to going to the northern tier of Wisconsin and Minnesota area.
Okay.
And my father enjoyed fishing, and we children liked games and swimming very much after having been brought up in the tropics.
Sure.
And it was a very, very pleasant first experience. I walked down Broadway from Merrithew Square, and I met Mr. Parker. And he said, "Good morning." He says, "You're new here, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes. We just came in yesterday. And I'm going down to look at the wharf." And when I got down to the wharf, I saw there was going to be wonderful swimming there. And then I saw the tennis court across the way. And I said, "Oh, I'm goody. I brought my tennis racket with me." So we went on from there. I had a sister, too. And her name was Peggy, and my name was Stella. And we didn't take long to make friends.
How old were you then?
I was 16. Yes.
Good.
And then the next time we came back was when we were 18. And we were ready to go off to school then. We had just finished high school in the Canal Zone, and that was the end of our stay there as far as our education was concerned. Our family were going to continue to live there, but we were going on to other places. I was going into nurses training in New York, and my sister was going to Trenton State Teachers College down in Trenton, New Jersey. And
can you describe where the cottage is that you were in?
Pardon?
The cottage?
Yes. The first year we came there, all the cottages were taken up. And we had to find a place that was a little bit different in a way. There was a Mr. Beach that lived here at Bayside, and he was a carpenter, and he had a cottage that's now been torn down, and it faces Auditorium Park. And Auditorium Park was, of course, where they were still holding the camp meetings in those days in August. So we were upstairs over Mr. Beach's workshop. He had all his tools and everything there that he did for his carpentry work. And we stayed there, and it had very nice view of the water, a little different aspect than I have now. But after that, we weren't indoors very much. It was mostly outside carry-ons. We had parties on the beach. We had, trips to the island.
How did you get there?
Well, Mr. Gooden was a man that owned sort of a steamboat of some sort. I can't tell you just quite like it. But he took fishing parties out, and he also took young folks over to Islesboro to the beach over there, where he dug clams for us, and we had a clam bake, and then we took picnic supplies with us, and we spent the whole day sunning ourselves and getting brown and good and burned too.
What sort of bathing costumes would you have been wearing?
Well, not like anything you see today, by any means. A little bit more discreet, perhaps, but still not too bad. They weren't the long skirts like they used to wear, and we did go barefooted, and we didn't have to wear hats over our heads like some of the ladies might have done before.
Yes.
But we had a lot of fun, and the
family staying there also?
Yes. She had two boys, Henry and Wilford, and both of those children are now dead, and are Mrs. Van Fleet and her husband.
My goodness.
So the family is no longer there. The house has been sold to other people, and I do not remember know who they are.
Their name is Malone, and they have four children, and they're very happy there.
Well, that's nice. You give me a bit of information.
Nice fact.
There was another house across the street that is still abandoned. It looks very derelict and sort of worn and tired. And that belonged to a family by the name of Hudson in the Canal Zone. And I don't think that it's owned by them anymore. Although, there's one Hudson girl that lives in, I believe it's in Vesey, I'm not sure. And she was married to a Mr. Flood. And I haven't seen her for a long time. That was a family that was very well known for swimming. And there was a younger sister that was a fantastic diver who used to perform off the pilings down there on the wharf. And in those days, the wharf extended far beyond any present day limits that we have. It was just immense because the steamships came in.
Can you remember that?
The Boston steamships came in. Every morning they came down from Bangor and they left for Boston.
Okay.
And then, I beg your pardon, they came in every morning and headed up to Bangor. Okay. Then in the late afternoon they returned from Bangor and stopped in Winterport and also down in Belfast. Mm-hmm. And then from Belfast they came to Northport to pick up the people. From Northport they went to Camden and to Rockland.
Uh-huh.
Rockland was the last trip going south to Boston.
Uh-huh.
And that, between leaving Bayside of Northport and Rockland, was a delightful time to eat your dinner. Because you could see the sun going down in the fall, sun would be going down, and you could watch the headlands as they came up and the islands popping along, and it was just beautiful.
Did you ever take the boat all the way down to Boston?
Oh, many times.
Many times.
Yes. My family and I came here in a Ford first, and then going back, we put the Ford on the same boat in the evening and went to Boston, spent the day in Boston, and then transferred to another line that took us to New York.
Yeah.
And from which we were going to depart. My family was going to depart for the Canal Zone.
With the car?
With the car. Leaving us girls behind.
Oh, God.
And so that was kind of sad. But anyway, we had our plans all made, and all I can say is I don't think there was any more lonesome moment in my life than when I said goodbye to the family, and they were going to be 3,000 miles away from me.
That's such far.
Yes.
Now, I'm interested in knowing how these families from the Canal Zone started to come to Bayside. Do you know?
I can't really tell you, because there were several. There was a doctor that came, and then there was the Van Fleets and the Hudsons, and then there was another family too, and I cannot remember their name, but they all seemed to find out that this was a nice place for children to be, and it was also cool, and that was the requirement for people that were coming from the tropics.
Certainly.
We wanted to get away from the heat. And most of these families would be here for 2 months possibly.
Gosh.
And it was a long vacation, but that was part of the benefits of being government employed and being able to get away regularly for health reasons.
Indeed.
We had too much malaria and we had too much other problems there in the tropics that we had to tend to regularly.
So all of these Bayside people were government employees who lived in the zone.
A good many of them. Yes, they were. Really, they were all, as near as I know, there was none of them that would come otherwise than having come from that place, from that source, you see.
And did the fathers come? Were the fathers there?
Well, yes. Some of them would come for some length of time too, and some of them, maybe the wives would come, mm-hmm. and the children would be here. In those days, it seems that families came more to stay for the whole season,
certainly.
Rather than to stay for just 2 weeks or 1 week,
yes.
or whatever that they come for
certainly.
Now. There's much more change every single week in the whole aspect of the community.
Absolutely.
We have a complete turnover of people.
Yes, it does seem that way.
That's
so tell me about how you got the house that became your family home one day.
Well, I met this young man, and we played tennis together.
In Bayside?
In Bayside. Uh-huh. And my sister also enjoyed his company.
Uh-huh.
My sister enjoyed dancing more than I did.
Yeah.
And John asked my sister to go dancing with him.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't go dancing, but I did other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came back after I finished my nurse's training,
yeah.
he in the meantime had started to school at Harvard.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, well, I'm going to come back again another summer. And John said to me, just before I was ready to go, he says, how are you going home? I said, I'm going back home to New York on the steamboat. And I said, this is not going to be around much longer. And that's right, because I think very shortly afterwards, those trips were given up.
Uh-huh.
And so he took me to the dock in Belfast and put me on the steamboat.
Ah.
He says, would you like to go to the Yale Harvard game with me?
Ah.
This fall? And I said, yes, I would. And so he says, well, you see, he says, we'll see if that can be arranged. And so sure enough, come time for the Yale Harvard game, boy, I was off to Boston and to the Yale Harvard game.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a wonderful weekend, and then I had met his family already previously, and so they asked me to come over to dinner, and I became a little bit more acquainted with
uh-huh.
them.
And
that proceeded on over a number of years
oh.
because he was working and studying, and it was a long time before he finished his doctor's degree.
I see.
And when he finished his doctor's degree, by that time, we were engaged.
And so it was a long courtship.
Yeah, that's right. And so then after that, why, I was working with, at that time, I was working with a patient over in Vermont that I had brought up from New York
yeah.
to Vermont for the summer. And so I had come over for my vacation, and John went off to interview for his first job as a instructor at the University of Kansas.
Uh-huh.
And so when he was offered the job, like John's mom and said to me, she says, Stella, she says, I think, and I said, I think too, she says, it's about time, she says, that this got taken care of. And so we had a very quick wedding.
Uh-huh.
And I called my sister, and she came up from New Jersey, and she was our maid of honor,
oh.
and his father was our groom, and so, I mean,
that was in New York?
Yes, best man, and so and the family was together then. Peggy and I stayed with John's mother and dad, and John and I were married on a Saturday afternoon.
In New York?
No, here in
here.
Bayside.
Oh, tell me where.
St. Margaret's.
Oh, I've been.
And the family came down from Brewer. It was just the family there.
What date was this?
Nobody else. Just the family.
Do you remember the date?
August the 15th, 1936.
Okay, thank you.
And so we were married, and we stayed here and worked on our cottage,
uh-huh.
which we had acquired because the family bought the one next door. John's parents bought the one next door, so we had two cottages.
On Park Road.
On Park Road.
Well, how far down are they?
Well, they're about midway.
Okay.
Because the present
cottage that belonged to us is number 9.
Number 9.
And then my daughter's cottage, and that was given to her by her grandmother, is just next door on the uphill side. And I don't know what Alma's number is, to tell you the truth. She's never put it on.
And her name is?
Alma Hamola.
Oh, Alma Hamola.
And she and her husband and family lived in Orono, because her husband taught at the university, and she also worked at the university.
Uh-huh.
She had 2 daughters, Anne was the youngest, and Ellen was the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Ellen is now in California, and she has just gotten her doctor's degree, and she's in marine biology. And
so these 2 cottages are still in your family.
That's right.
Okay.
And we hope that they'll stay in our family for many, many years.
Certainly.
Because we've had such great pleasure being here.
Certainly. Now, how did your husband's family first come to Bayside?
My husband's first family came to Bayside because his mother was from Brewer.
Uh-huh.
And she came down as a very young person with her mother, and they came down by barges and things in those days.
Gosh.
To spend the day. And then they would go back again. They used to come down from there quite frequently,
uh-huh,
in spite of the difficulty in getting,
yeah,
to and fro. But
do you know about what year that would have been?
Well, grandmother and granddaddy, I can't just tell you. Tell you just when. Granddaddy went to teach in Brewer. I really can't remember that particular time.
Sure.
But anyway, they came down as very young people they came up from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
He taught in the high school in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And she was a housewife there. He had the 1 son, John,
mm-hmm,
that I married. And that was their only child.
So there were a lot of teachers on both sides of
that's
your
right,
family.
That's right.
You know what, Stella, I forgot to ask you in the beginning, and that is, what was your maiden name?
My name is Stella Price.
Price, okay.
Price.
Stella Price. Okay.
And I think that you might say that the Dysters have really been around. Grandmother and granddaddy came. I think John was about 2 years old when,
mm-hmm,
he first came here. And John died in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've been here alone, but I have a home here in Belfast,
yeah,
and the cottage there. Well, shortly after John died, I transferred the cottage to my son, the oldest boy, who's John Richard, named for his grandfather, and he's the present owner. But I have lifetime interest in the cottage.
Wonderful.
This is,
yeah,
the first year that I haven't been over there to stay at the cottage.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I haven't been over there this year is because I fell and,
yes,
broke my hip.
Yes, and you're doing
and
a marvelous job of recuperating.
I've been staying here at the house, but the family's come over and gotten me, and I've been there for suppers, and sat on the porch,
sure,
and seen folks, and
great,
I've been over in the afternoon and visited.
Sure,
and
that's nice, that being close
it's
enough
only
to
4 miles
that's
down
so
the road.
Close.
We used to say, my husband said, for instance, we go north in the winter, and we go south in the summer.
It was right.
And that's right.
It's, who are some of the people that you remember from the early days in Bayside?
The first people that I think I got acquainted with were the Cross Girls.
The Cross Girls, who I spoke
to recently.
That's
right, that's right. They lived just across the street from where we were, and there was Merrifield Square, was sort of a gathering place, as a matter of fact. Very interesting things happened in those days. We had delivery men that came and brought ice. And there were men that came and brought produce, such as vegetables.
Uh-huh.
And there was also a bakery truck that came,
uh-huh,
by. There was even people that came in. This was in the very first years that I came here.
Mm-hmm.
There were people that came in from the country, from Marl and around here, even in horses and little buggies, and delivering produce to people that they had by from them regularly. It was door-to-door service in those days.
Yeah.
It was Cushman Bakery when he came around. And that Cushman man was always a great lot of fun because the children would gather around get cookies or whatnot.
Oh,
and there was ice cream people too, I think. Well, they sold ice cream at the store. And when I very first came there, it was known as Tuttle's store.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Tuttle was a photographer. He also had a soda fountain in that store. A real live soda fountain with the little stools and the little tables and chairs and the tall glasses that you could have these ice cream sodas in. He served ice cream cones and several kinds of ice cream. And it was a gathering place. There was also a post office there. And that was the most important gathering spot of the whole day because there were deliveries in the morning. And I said, there was mail going out at noontime. There was more afternoon mail coming in the afternoon and mail going out twice a day.
How did it come? In a truck?
Yes, it did. It came over from the Belfast and Moosehead Railroad. It had come down from Bangor or wherever their distribution center was for mail. And really, it was remarkable safe service.
I would say so. So that was one of the gathering places. And where else did people get together in Bayside? You mentioned tennis.
Yes, there was the golf course.
Uh-huh.
Always the golf course. Men loved to play golf.
Uh-huh.
And the ladies would go up there. And they had card parties and things up there. And they also had dances up there on Friday evening.
Mm-hmm.
And the young people used to go to dance.
Uh-huh.
And it would be like a piano and drums and violin maybe and a saxophone. Saxophone was always very important in music in those days.
Uh-huh.
It seemed to do something magical. And it was a nice brand around there. The golf course has changed some. I haven't been up there in more recent years.
Was the yacht club did not exist yet? There was a sailing school. People have talked about that.
Well, the sailing school came a little bit late.
I see.
It was more in the 50s and 60s, I think. There was a Marion Eaton that lived and owned a cottage over in the Grove, where the auditorium park was. And she turned one of her family houses into a bunkhouse, and she had another one, the present Brewer Cottage, that she used for campers that she took in to heat. She had a cook that was there all season. It was operated just like any ordinary camp for students to go to.
Sure.
The advantage of this camp also was, or one of the advantages was, that she tutored. She tutored Latin. She taught Latin in a New Jersey school.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember what town it was, but this seemed to be the beginning of her. She took the first two students and she gave remedial Latin lessons to them, and she and her brother taught them to sail just for pleasure, to offset the studies. And this grew into something that was really quite a money maker.
I'll bet it was.
I don't know how many the total enrollment was at the height of the season for her, but sometimes she had an enormous amount of boys and girls down there going out on the boats regularly, and she used Bar Harbor 17s, and some of them weren't so shipworthy, and some of them came to disaster, and we had to go out and rescue them. There was no casualties. They played baseball in the park in the evening, softball that was.
And with boys and girls too?
Boys and girls too. They had separate dormitories, one for the boys and one for the girls. And it was really quite an active participation of the community and the sailing school.
Yes, it sounds like it.
And eventually they even got the tennis court built up at the still the same good-sized crowd there at the Sunday school.
Sure.
That didn't last, I don't believe, beyond the late 60s, perhaps, into the early 70s.
So all the years that you've sat on your lovely porch overlooking that park, what are some of the changes that you've noticed? What's different now from the early days?
Well, one thing that hasn't changed is the little merry-go-round is still down there. One thing that has changed is we no longer have a band concert stand. And we used to have band concerts in Sunday afternoon, just above where the present playground used to be. And that's no longer. The old metal chutes are no longer there, and the old heavy-duty teeter-totter is not there. They have replaced it with a very nice, more modern version that seems to interest and even entrance the youngsters just as much as the old equipment did. Now, the schoolhouse down here at Northport, the present schoolhouse, has changed. That was a one-room schoolhouse to begin with, then put on its present site to about a three-room schoolhouse. That was enlarged again to accommodate a library and to have other facilities that seem to be necessary for modern education. The old-fashioned reading, writing, and arithmetic was really pretty well established when my children were little, because they went there and they were never delinquent in any respect.
Now,
they went back to Chapel Hill.
Interesting. Now, tell me how they happened to go to school there. Were you staying in your cottage?
We stayed in our cottage until the 23rd or 24th of September. My husband's school job did not start at the university until early or very late September.
Okay.
They start much earlier now.
Yes.
And so therefore, we were at least 2 weeks beyond Labor Day, maybe 3 weeks beyond Labor Day, and the children couldn't miss school.
No, so you
started here, and then they went home. We only took 2 days to go back to North Carolina, and we'd be back, we'd go on a weekend, so they'd be back home by Monday and back to school again.
Were there any other children from the summer kids who were doing the same thing?
No. By that time, they'd all gone back home for the summer, after their summer vacation, and gone into their own school.
So you got to enjoy an extra couple of weeks
that
fall.
And the children still continue to go swimming, and in those days I was really able to get into that cold water and enjoy it. That's long since gone by. I think the last time I went in swimming was when my youngest granddaughter from this part of the country, I have two other grandchildren too that I didn't mention. One was Sarah. And that was Sarah's father, John. Sarah was with her father, John, this year. Edward hasn't come to Maine since he was 3 years old, and I doubt if he'll come. There seem to be certain circumstances that are going to prevent that, at least for the present. Maybe later on he will. But Sarah has been here now for the last 3 years, and she's thoroughly enjoyed it. She's gotten acquainted and established a few routes and were a little bit late in starting, but nevertheless, I'm convinced are very wholesome ones for her to have.
Good.
She's going off to college next year, and I said, Sarah, one of the things that I must live for, I says, is to see you through college. I said, when you graduate from college, I said, I'll be very happy. And she says, I'll fly in. And she says, we'll have a party. And I said, great. So I'm looking forward to that day.
You are. So do you feel that the things that young people enjoy doing in Bayside now, that many of them are the same things that you
do? No, I think it's changed.
Mm-hmm.
There are not so many beach parties.
True.
There's other things that have changed. There are more automobiles.
Yes.
Oh, great many automobiles.
Too many automobiles.
Too many automobiles. Going too fast.
Too fast.
And
too many other things that are not really wholesome.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that they would be classified, in my opinion, as wholesome.
Uh-huh.
But it seems to be the way modern young people do. And you have to just bear with them and try to guide them and think, well, maybe one day they'll see the light.
And they sure seem to turn out to be pretty decent adults for the most
that's
part.
That's right. Each generation has its problems.
It's something that distresses the older generation. It has to be that way.
That's right. We all had our scatterbrain days, too.
I think so. Some of people talk about going up to the Cove Mansion and sneaking around doing things.
Yes.
Do you have any memory of that?
Oh, yes, yes. That was really kind of exciting because it was forbidden territory.
Okay.
But the boys seemed to be able to manage to get up there somehow, and the girls sort of followed. Girls seemed to follow wherever there's a male creature involved.
Were you a sailor? Did you sail at all in your youth?
Yes, I did. But I didn't sail until after my family was pretty well grown up. And my children went off to camp. My oldest daughter, Alma, who lives in Orono now and is very active in Girl Scouts, went to Girl Scout camp up to Camp Natarsley every summer, right straight through high school, and then as a counselor when she was in college, and now she's on the board of directors for the Girl Scout group there in Bangor. And her daughters went to Natarsui, and they also were camp counselors there, and they also went on to other places to be camp counselors.
So
it's a family tradition.
Yes, it sounds like it. Before this tape winds down, I wanted to ask you about housekeeping in the early days. What kind of stove you had? Was there hot water?
I had no hot water.
Uh-huh.
I had tea kettles, four of them.
Uh-huh.
And I had a small four-burner stove that had oven doors on both sides, and it baked marvelous pies.
Oh,
but all the rest of the cooking was done on the surface. We had a kerosene stove, three-burner, with an oven that I used on very hot days when you didn't want to have a wood stove going.
Mm-hmm.
I had an iron sink in the corner of the lean-to shed over my kitchen, and that had one faucet, a cold water faucet. I washed all of my diapers. I did everything else. No washing machine. Nothing of the sort. We had ice delivered daily or every other day to our door. We had ice boxes, not refrigerators.
Mm-hmm.
The first refrigerator I got was a General Electric that I bought in Central Maine, and that was when my daughter Alma was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that year we got pasteurized milk first time.
Uh-huh.
And that was in 1938. She was born the fall of 1937, and I brought her to Maine the summer of 1938.
Mm-hmm.
We got that refrigerator, and it's still in the cottage.
Oh, that's
the old General Electric is still there.
Is it running?
It can run.
I use it as
an auxiliary one because it's easier to defrost. But it's a monitor top, and Mr. McLeod has a smaller version of those monitor top ones over in Belfast in his store.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a prized possession. I don't have my old wood stove. That's gone. It's gone. Now I have hot water. And I have a much more modern kitchen with a nice electric stove and refrigerator.
school and a younger boy that needed supervision, she had to eventually put him in a military school because he needed men to direct his life. And so she came to see me after I finished in New York, but not back to Bayside.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone in Bayside now that you can that was there in your earlier days? Well, the Cross Sisters,
yes,
of course.
The Cross Girls, yeah. And then, no, not very well.
Not too many.
Margaret Bragg, yes, Margaret Bragg Lovejoy.
Peg Lovejoy, sure.
Right. Peg was a little girl when I first, she was 8 years old when I first came here. Maybe a little bit younger than that, because by the time she was eight, there was a high school girl from Bangor looking after her for her mother, and that young lady that was looking after Peg Lovejoy, his name was Marion Morse.
Oh, you have a good memory.
Marion Morse, I haven't seen or heard from since way back then, but I understood that she married and lived in the Bangor area, but we just, our paths never crossed.
Yeah.
But
Peg Lovejoy is still there. Janet,
Peg,
Patty.
Yes, Peg Lovejoy has had a family that's lived there. There was a cottage that was torn down on that property that I remember, at the, where her present garden is. And
she's a good gardener.
Yes, it's a lovely corner there, and there was a kind of an interesting little cottage there. But her family tore it down and made, that's all right, it was just my poem that fell. And so she had two children. One was a youngster by the name of Sally, and Sally had the misfortune of having an automobile accident, and she didn't survive. But she has a younger brother, Ted, and Ted now owns a cottage at the top of the hill there.
I see.
And he and his wife, who enjoyed, I think, fixing it up.
All that.
And Ted's wife, I believe, is also a young lady that came here as a youngster, and Ted and his wife met here, and that's the way. And then there's another family too. It's the family that lives over there in the Grove, and that is wait a second. Here's one.
Well, you've done I'm stuck.
But anyway,
it's okay.
She still lives here, and her grandchildren come here. So there's a family continuity to there.
Yeah.
And that family came from Maryland.
Interesting.
Yes, the James family.
Oh, okay.
The James family. And I can't think of Eleanor's.
Ellie Ladner?
She came here as a young person. She met a young man from the sailing school.
Is that right?
And now he is also, I believe, a marine designer.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, there's a kind
of. And there is a daughter, and Sammy Hall is still there, sure.
And Eleanor had a sister who's older. She went over to Deer Isle, I believe, and bought a place over there.
Uh-huh.
She had a younger brother that was my daughter's age, and he and Alan never could get along. But they used to dispute over whether her grandfather owned a Packard or whether she didn't own. He didn't own a Packard. And Alan says, "I know it's a Packard." She says, "I tell you it's a Packard."
And did you know Magdalena Brown?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Magdalena had a son, and she also had a daughter, and I knew both of them. Yes, I've known quite a few people around here.
Sure.
And a very interesting couple came here, and that was Blair Einstein and his wife, Anne. He's now still here, and he has another very, very interesting wife.
Isn't
and
there?
They are very popular young couple.
They
here
certainly are, yes.
And Blair and Anne established the real estate business in the old store. At the time they first took it over, I think that the remnants of the post office had just been given up. And Anne and Blair had a combine part of the old store and into a real estate.
Yes, we bought our house from, our cottage in Bayside from Blair and Ann.
That's a wonderful, wonderful place, really.
Yes, it is. They've done a nice job of preserving it, and it's still
another thing that's changed tremendously is the inn.
Oh, yes.
My gracious, sure. I remember when that was Duchess Inn.
Duchess?
Duchess Inn. It was a family in Belfast.
A Duchess, yes, Chevrolet.
That's right, yes. In that family, they also had a meat market and many other businesses there. But they had this place where people came down from Bangor Estate. For instance, Mrs. Freeze, the wife of the manager of Freeze's store in Bangor, used to come down with her chauffeur and stay with her children in corner rooms. They had like a suite there, what would be called a suite. And the bathrooms in those days were at the end of the hall, and they consisted of probably a flush toilet and maybe a laboratory. I don't think that they had too much in the way of showers or anything of that sort. You had a little pitcher and a bowl, and you took an afternoon sponge, and that was it. Unless you went swimmers.
And then if you needed to take the salt water off, you took a sponge. And that served very nicely. Everybody always looked fresh and neat.
Exactly. We've taken this cleanliness business too far, I
suppose. People
expect to shower every day.
Well, we like our conveniences.
Well, we do, exactly so. That's
we can't have them while we're not very happy.
You're right. Well, I think this tape is just going to be winding down, so I will thank you. You were an absolute font of information. You were right, even though you didn't take notes. It was no trouble at all.
You saw the bubbles out.
So I appreciate your taking the time to talk to us, and this will be very useful to us in the future. Thanks again.